Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.
Welcome to Training Camp Live, presented by Heartland Health. Josh Soney, Mitch Holthus. This is it. We got a taste yesterday, Mitch. The Cards are still in town. They had their own practice today. The Chiefs will have their own practice today on Wednesday, and then both teams will head to Kansas City tomorrow on Thursday to get ready for the Chiefs preseason opener on Friday night, which will be the Cardinals' second game coming off a short week and their Hall of Fame matchup on Sunday night. But yesterday, we got a little taste, Mitch. The two teams got up and had some competitive periods. And although it was not a full-on live scrimmage setting, it was very apparent to me that the competition was taken up a notch on both sides.
No question. You could feel the vibe throughout the place. But to have 3,000 fans and basically 180 players in the confined area of two practice fields, including a Larry Fitzgerald, really created a nice atmosphere. It was a fun day, I thought, yesterday, and for both teams. No fights, no craziness, just a good practice both ways.
Yeah, it was good and productive. Two interesting dynamics. The Cardinals kind of coming down, short week, trying to take care of the bites. The Chiefs ramping up under Romeo Cano getting in. And so the Chiefs wore, if you saw that footage, the Chiefs were in full pads.
Yeah.
The Cards were in shorts and helmets. And the players that for the Cards had pants on did not have pads in there. These guys, just some of them just wore pants. So it was interesting, but the tempo was still high, and they made it work. The two coaches with two different agendas on where they are, they made it work, and both teams left feeling they had a productive day.
Yeah, and I thought it probably did what Ken Wisenhunt wanted it to do, because it just logistically was not going to work out for them to go back to Phoenix, drive to Flagstaff, drive back to Phoenix, and fly to Kansas City. They basically took that time that they would have met doing all that travel stuff and put it on the field yesterday. Now, they decided to go separately today. I think that was Coach Wisenhunt mostly wanting to do that because of the week that they've had. But there were just some great moments. The one-on-one drills always have the advantage of the offense. But generally, seeing these catches here, I thought the Chiefs receivers and running backs did a pretty good job one-on-one against the coverage guys of the Cardinals.
There's Jamar Newsom, one of the highlights of practice. We'll get to more. Jonathan Baldwin, another good day. And a day that in 11-11 wasn't for the offense. It was just kind of a lot of stalemates. A lot of twos and threes got work. We'll cover the odds and ends of what we saw at yesterday's practice. Well, let's first go to Ken Wisenhunt and hear from him and what he thought the Cardinals got out of yesterday's scrimmage.
Coming off yesterday, you know, where we worked against Arizona, and I thought that was a good day's work on both sides of the ball. You know, both teams, they worked and they worked hard and they worked very well against each other. So that was encouraging there.
Yeah, I thought it went pretty well. I don't know, what do you guys think? It was, I thought it was a good intensity. Guys worked well together. I think we got a lot accomplished. I thought Coach Crennel did a great job with his team, and I'd like to think we did the same with ours. I think we pushed it hard enough, but it was good. I mean, it wasn't any after the play scruffs or anything like that. Guys knew when to pull off. They practiced like pros, but you could still feel the competitiveness out here today, and that's what's so important.
Well, you heard from both the coaches. Now let's get back to what we saw, Mitch. And let's start with Baldwin, because if you start with the Chiefs' offensive day, offensively it was Jonathan Baldwin. Had catches that he's been making all camp, and you and I have talked about the progression of this player. He did an OTAs without pads. Next step, let's see him against that press coverage against Stanford route with pads. He's made plays there. This was just another small step in his progression, and he did it against players that he doesn't see every day at camp. And Baldwin, more circus grabs, two touchdowns in 7-on-7. The highlight of the day, him and Jamar Newsom, when he caught one down the sidelines, and he also hooked up with Matt Castle for the only score of either team during 11-on-11 work.
This play, though, was the sick one, because Michael Adams is a decent corner for the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll see if Brebs can put it back up there again. But I want to see it, because if you're Michael Adams, you can't play this any better not this one, but the next one coming up, where he's got inside leverage on the receiver. And if Matt puts the ball in the right place, this is impossible to defend. As a defender, you're in great spot there. In fact, you're thinking about a pick. I'm thinking of going to the house here. And he's Spider-Man. He just kind of reaches over, climbs up the side of the building, and gets the ball. He's done that now about every other day. We've seen him do something like that. But the other thing that excites me about John Baldwin is not just that kind of catch, but he's working very hard. And I saw it again yesterday going against the Cardinals. He's working really hard on his routes. He's working on his steps. He's working on his moves. And he's trying to get those routes down, stuff that I've talked about all spring and summer, of being a precise route runner.
And you know, this is, it's an interesting thing that's happening at Chiefs camp, because there was an article today written by Jeff Chedid with ESPN, and it was basically a pro-Dwayne Bowe column. And you know, Jeff is a great writer, and the one thing I would disagree with is with what he said. He tried to kind of make it like, well, the Chiefs can pump Jonathan Baldwin all they want, and make it sound like this is some sort of contrived pumping. And you know, here on this show, we're going to bring you what's going on at camp. We're not going to lie to you, though, is the thing. And if you read the Kansas City Star, the St. Joseph News Press, KCChiefs.com, this is not contrived. Jonathan Baldwin is having a great camp. It has nothing to do with Dwayne Bowe's absence and channeling a message of, well, the Chiefs have a number one receiver, whether Dwayne's here or not. The Chiefs have made it clear that they want Dwayne Bowe here. Dwayne Bowe's going to be part of this offense. Jonathan Baldwin is just simply having a great camp. You can see in the highlights here, there's nothing contrived about this message. The kid is flat out playing this preseason.
Has Jeff Chedid been here?
I haven't seen him yet.
How can you write that column if you've not been here? I mean, Jeff Chedid is a good writer, but this is kind of what I go through in basketball, where I'm not there every day with the team. And I covered like 20 different teams last year, and you worked hard to cover them, but I kind of want to see them before I make opinions about him. So I think if I'm Jeff, I probably wait on that column and see what. Look at that catch. I mean, that was back on the night practice on that Tuesday night at the beginning of camp. But we're not making this up. And I'm not sure where Jeff's coming with it, because if he was here and saw this and he was here for the last 2 weeks, I think his opinion would be different.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And when Dwayne Bowe comes back, I don't think there's much question that he's going to factor into this offense. And the thought is you get one more weapon there if Jonathan Baldwin takes the next step. And so far he has shown that the next step for Jonathan Baldwin is to do it now in the preseason games. And from what we've seen, there's no question that he is ready to do that. You saw Brian Daboll there congratulating. He's been like a maniac throughout camp. Brian Daboll's all over the field. He's in players' faces when they do good, when they do bad. And we talked to Brian Daboll after yesterday's press to get his thoughts on how his offense performed against the Cardinals.
When you go against a different team and you stop the monotony of going through against the defense over and over again, you want to see some of the guys come out. You know, you got a little bit of a crowd out here, a different team, and particularly the young guys, and see if it's not too big for them. So they worked hard at it, and we'll go in, look at the film, make the corrections, and try to get better.
Baldwin did what he does for you guys in that two-minute drill, came up with that big catch. Mm-hmm. That had to be heartening to you.
Yeah, we've been working hard in two-minute, and we've been improving on it. Each day we're out here, we get put in some good situations from Romeo, and I think the line's doing a good job protecting, and Matt's making some good reads, and the receivers are coming down with some good catches. Got a long ways to go with it, but we're getting better at it every day, and that's what you look for.
What does Brady Quinn need to do to kind of solidify that number two spot?
Yeah, well,
what does he need to do better?
Sure, I think that Brady and Stanzi are kind of in the same boat. They've been getting equal reps, kind of splitting back and forth. You know, try to string a few good days together and make progress from some of the mistakes and build on some of the things that they do well. It's been a good competition, and you know, they're still working out here and competing against one another. So both really good in the classroom, sharp, are getting the system down. Now it's just a matter of coming out here under pressure. You know, everything's evaluation period, the practices, the games, the different situations that they're put in. So, you know, each day we expect them to improve.
We heard Brian Daboll address a number of topics as the Chiefs get ready for their opener. We're also able to catch up with John Baldwin, Larry Fitzgerald, an all-pro receiver who's done a number of years, and his thoughts on the joint practice, as well as Nick Sirianni and what he's seen out of his receivers and Baldwin specifically.
Well, you know, he's representing. He's you know, everybody knows this. He's got unbelievable athletic ability, and you know, the potential is there. And you know, with Matt, you know, Castle back healthy again, and this team with Jamal Charles in the back there. I mean, it's going to be some opportunity for him to make plays. So I'm looking forward to seeing.
Has
him
he come
do
a long way since he was working out with you before he got drafted?
You know, he's always had that same ability. You know, he's an uncanny ability to go up and make plays, high point the ball, and, you know, he's much faster than you think he is down the field. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by his success, and I know he's going to be a special player for years to come.
How confident are you right now in your game and your relationship with Matt?
You know, the main thing is communication. You know, me and him talk a lot. You know, he tells me where he wants me to be on certain things, and we go back and forth, and it just makes the communication a lot better with him understanding where I'm going to be on certain routes and me knowing where he's going to put the ball on certain routes, so it makes it a lot better for both of us.
John hasn't been in the league all that long, so he hasn't seen all the looks that he could possibly have seen, and so when he get the more reps he gets and the more different looks he gets, the better it's going to be for him, and I think that, you know, every rep for him counts to continue to get better, and he's done a good job, and you know, he's going to continue to grow by just trying to get better every day and being a professional every day.
Moving on to the defense, Mitch. The defense kept Arizona out of the end zone during the team period. Arizona did find the end zone a few times, 7-on-7 and 1-on-1 drills. As far as an offensive performer, I really liked for Arizona, Michael Floyd. I think the rookie he may be in line for a big year drawing matchups against second corners opposite Larry Fitzgerald. He impressed me, but what impressed me most about the Chiefs defense was Eric Berry and what he did, not necessarily on the field in 11-on-11, but what he did right here. This is 1-on-1 drills against the Arizona Cardinals. So you're 1-on-1. It's a spotlight. There's one ball, one receiver, one quarterback, no help. You're 1-on-1. And you're outside like a corner. And what does Eric Berry do? Every time Larry Fitzgerald gets up there, Eric Berry hops out there and says, I'm going to man up. Yep. Against Larry Fitzgerald every single play.
Because the opposite is Fitzgerald's up and you go, you know what, I got a rock in my shoe, why don't you take it?
Foot cramp. Yeah.
But he decided, and Jaleel Brown actually had a good day too yesterday, was watching him closely because, again, he's been on a spotlight. He'll be on a spotlight again Friday night. But Berry decides to go against Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald's one of my favorite players in this league. He is a poster child for the National Football League and how to play this game and how to handle yourself off the field. But Eric Berry was looking like, he's three back. I'll move ahead. I got this one. And that was positive to see because let's be honest here about EB. What was the knock on Eric 2 years ago?
Couldn't cover tight ends.
Had trouble with coverage total.
Right.
Have you seen that in this camp?
I have not.
In fact, he's really working at trying to improve his coverage skills. And one way to work on that is to go against one of the very best ever play in this game.
Yeah, this matchup was intriguing to me between Berry and Fitzgerald for a few other reasons too. They in that 10-minute period they go up against each other three times. This is one of Barry's wins where he keeps Fitzgerald from crossing his face on a slant. The other two were very competitive looking like that. Fitzgerald got the better end of Berry and caught passes where he was well covered.
That's the other play that jumped out when he went against Baldwin.
And that was the first day of pads. First when he day. Did that to Baldwin, the next play he runs Strath in the cluster. So two guys with totally different skill sets. So Berry jumps up and says, I want to go against Larry Fitzgerald. They rotate. There's so many defensive backs. They had a ton of receivers in camp. So they went together three times in that 10-minute period, and then it was over. But, of course, we had to talk to both players about that experience following yesterday's practice.
Did you seek out Larry Fitzgerald as your matchup in 1-on-1 today?
Yeah, I mean, I just went out. I figured, you know, just to go out there and just get a taste. You know, he's one of the best. You know, you want to see where you're at with one of the best. So, me, I thrive off competition. I love a challenge. And, shoot, why not go out there? He's one of the best players in the league.
And how'd you feel you did?
I feel like I did good. You know, felt like I was playing ball out there, man.
Is it a little bit more difficult, too? I mean, you were kind of lined up as a corner, really, in one-on-ones and the outside against him, so you're kind of out of your element against one of the best in the game.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, it just depends on what you define out of my elements. You know, anything on the football field that you're asked to do, you know, you just got to be prepared for it, you know. And nobody's going to say he's out of his element when it happens on Sunday and I line up outside at a cornerback position and they bomb a touchdown. They're just going to say he got bombed on or whatever. So I have to make sure I'm prepared for any possibility out there. So I just got to make sure I'm ready.
Did you have to push guys away to take on him? Were there guys in line, or were you pretty much the only one that had your hand up, said, I'll go to match up with Larry?
Our guys, you know, they wanted to get out there, but it was just like, I got to go do it. You know, I just have to go out there and just match up with them just to see.
What can you get out of matching up against a guy like Eric Berry, somebody who's coming back from an injury but has been at the top of his craft as well?
I didn't know he was that athletic. You know, this is the first time I ever got a chance to play against him, and he's an impressive specimen. I mean, he's you got a free safety, strong safety, wide receiver, linebacker, cornerback. I mean, he could play any position he wanted to with that athleticism. It was fun. More so, I'm excited to see that he's fully recovered from his injury. He's bounced back and he can regain his form.
So Larry Fitzgerald is a bit surprised with Berry's athleticism when he walked away from that. And I would be, too, if a safety's manning up on me like a cornerback and playing well. And that's music to Chiefs fans' ears, though, to hear Eric Berry or hear Larry Fitzgerald say about Eric Berry that it's clear to me he's regained his form from that injury. He's bounced back. The two hadn't played against each other, Mitch, except for the 2011 Pro Bowl after Berry's rookie season. So there wasn't a whole lot of competitiveness matching up one-on-one, but Larry Fitzgerald's a pro's pro. He's an NFL fan. He watches other NFL teams, and to hear that he believes Berry is back from that injury is just another check mark on the list for this ACL crew.
Well, it shows you how classy Larry Fitzgerald is, too. I mean, we didn't see him doing setups with his shirt off.
You're making TO references with our live chat. They're saying he took Jim Zorn's number in Seattle, by the way, is what our chat room is saying.
Good. Next, we'll see him on CNN doing setups in the backyard with his shirt off. Larry Fitzgerald's a classy guy. And so when he talks about somebody, it's not just one opinion you take lightly. If he's going to say this about Eric Berry, he truly means it, because Larry's a student of the game, a student of his own game, and appreciates those guys who approach the game like he does, even if they're on the defensive side of the football. So when he says that about Eric Berry, those are not words that just go off into space somewhere. They land, and land hard.
When the Chiefs moved into 11-on-11 work, of course, Berry went back to his safety position, so he wasn't manned up against Larry Fitzgerald. But Fitzgerald drew a combo of man-to-man coverage from a number of cornerbacks, but specifically Jaleel Brown. Him and Jaleel had a lot of battles. Another great test for a corner. We talked to him on the show yesterday. We've talked about him all offseason. An intriguing player for the Chiefs. They want to see what they have. They want to see how he fits in to this game, with Brandon Flowers resting the foot yesterday, and it looks like he may rest it today, which leads he may not play on Friday night. Jaleel Brown is going to get a lot of reps, and he went against Larry yesterday, and we asked Larry for show what he thought about the Chiefs' young cornerback.
Oh, he's a good worker. You know, I went up against him a lot of times today. He's physical. He's got good ball skills. He broke up a couple balls on me. So, is he a rookie? He's a rookie this year?
Second year.
You know, I mean, he's an impressive athlete. So, he's obviously, playing well. He started today, so I'm looking forward to matching up again with him on Friday.
And when Jaleel goes back, Mitch, is he going to be that third outside corner? Is he going to be a hybrid type sub-package player? Is he going to do a little bit of both? Where does he go? Right now, we're seeing him on the outside role, something we really haven't seen him do this offseason up until this past week. We didn't see him do it much last year with the Chiefs. He only played a handful of snaps. I believe it was about 3 snaps when Brandon Flowers went out in week 3 against San Diego as an outside player. Then Travis Daniels moved outside, and Jaleel was kind of more of that nickel-dime role. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get a good look at him, I believe, on Friday night in that outside corner role to see what he can do on an island.
He's one of my top 5 players to watch on Friday night. We've been watching him, you're right, ever since July 26th when we drove into St. Joe. And it's been intriguing to see how many different places they put him, left, right, base, sub, the penny position they call it now, that kind of nickelbacker. And now he's back on the outside with the injury to Flowers, as you mentioned. But there's just a couple guys that are high on my list to watch, because honestly, Romeo Crennel's trying to figure out what they've got here with Jaleel Brown. He's responded very well. He's tough. He's smart. We talked about his athleticism. But the lights go on. How does he play? And how did he do yesterday, Wednesday? I thought he had a very good day. First kind of a quiz pass, but the test is coming on Friday night.
Some of the guys in our chat room here are wondering about, and I don't blame them. What about some of the other wide receivers? We talk a lot about John Ball and what he's done this camp, because he's commanded the headlines, both in-house and out of the house. Our thoughts on some of the other receivers that are working for the Chiefs. Let's start from kind of the bottom and work our way up, Mitch. I want to start with Terrence Copper, because this is a guy who seems to me he's made some plays, especially with Ricky Stanzi and Quinn working with the twos. And this is a guy who's been on this roster for 3 years. He will make the team, if he makes the team, as a fifth or sixth receiver, as a special teams player. Always been, you know what you're going to get with Terrence Copper on special teams. He'll be reliable, he can be a core special teams guy, he can play them all. But you still want a guy who's going to be able to contribute in the pass game, and I've been pleasantly surprised with what Terrence Copper has been able to offer so far.
He had a play yesterday, 7-on-7. He caught a pass from Ricky Stanzi and ran a very good route. Now, it is 7-on-7, so there's no defensive lineman out there. But he ran a great route. It was kind of a smash route where you pull inside and pull back, and Stanzi put it right on the money. But it was a very good route, and he caught the ball. Generally, Terrence Copper is reliable on catching the football. You mentioned his four core special teams ability. At least the way it lines up now, he appears to be in that same role again. But he's also a guy that's going to get you some sneaky yards on some sneaky plays, maybe not every week, but about every other week, that could help you win games.
And then a guy who was expected to push him has been off the field. Junior Hemingway has a groin strain, hasn't practiced in close to a week. Isn't expected to play on Friday night, so you wonder how that factors into that matchup. You know, as we move up and down the depth chart here, what have we seen from Dexter McCluster? It's interesting, Mitch. I've seen him do about everything at this camp. I've seen him as the Wildcat-type player that we've seen him line up in the past with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I've seen him out of the slot. We've seen him motion and get take handoffs, but we haven't seen him line up in the backfield yet. And that's interesting to me. And I think a lot of people thought he would still maybe get some reps as running back, and I'm not ready to close the door on him getting reps there. But he has been slot receiver. He has been a multitude of things on the offense, but everything has kind of come out of that slot for him.
Yeah, we get asked every day, what about Dexter McCluster? What does it mean with Wiley here? And I think they found a role for McCluster, and it's basically that. I mean, he's the joker in the deck because he's lined up at Z, which is the flanker position. He's been in the slot. The only time is the Wildcat direct snap when he's been in the backfield. But right now they have got him earmarked as a wide receiver of some sort. They motion him around a lot, trying to get him in mismatches, which is what we've mentioned that Brian Daboll likes to do in this offense. And I would say he's had a pretty good camp to this point.
I would, too. And I think that I don't know if Devin Wiley's behind, if that's fair to say. But I will say it gives the Chiefs, with McCluster's camp, time to ease Wiley into a role offensively. Yeah. Right now, I think Wiley's right up there in competing for a kickoff return and punt return job.
No question.
He may be this team's punt returner on opening day.
No question.
With McCluster's camp, I think this team can afford, as a rookie receiver that Wiley is, if McCluster continues, Wiley can be a guy that comes in off the bench, some plays here and there, and you don't just throw, here's 30 plays for you, rookie, get in there and go. He can kind of get used to what the NFL game's all about.
Yeah, and the other part of this discussion, as we see Jamar Newsom, I mean, he's another guy we got to talk about.
Big-bodied receiver, yeah, and someone no one talked about before camp.
No, zero. And he's been getting opportunities. They'll slide him in there with the twos, and so it's kind of a wide-open battle at some of those wide receiver positions. But back to Dex. It's part of the discussion with Dex has been the fact you've got Jamal Charles, you've got Peyton Hillis, you've got Sean Drawn, and you've got Cyrus Gray. So, if anything, there's no room there for Dex, but they've got a place they can use him now, so it's not like you have to force him into running back thinking, well, you know what, he might be our third running back. You've got some other guys there now, which allows Dex to focus on what maybe Dex can do best.
Noah Groninger here has a question about the defensive side of the football, and a player that impressed you and I on Family Fun Day, and a player that you've done a feature on in your Finding the 53, Cam Sheffield. Mm-hmm. An interesting player. He's battling right now with a number of guys to make this roster. Him and Andy Studebaker work with the twos. Gabe Miller's in there. Gabe Miller had a sack in yesterday's 11-on-11 work with the Cardinals. Miller's also a former fifth-round pick.
Edgar Jones
is in there, and you want to talk about core special teams guys and run and hit linebackers. Jones has done it for the past 5 years for one of the best special teams units in the league in Baltimore. So there's a lot of competition there. Sheffield went through that injury, came back last year, saw the playing field for the first 3 weeks, Mitch, and then kind of disappeared. Justin Houston's emergence, how have you taken Sheffield's camp thus far?
I think he's played with a lot of confidence. And they do have him right now on several of the first team special teams units, right, which tells me they're counting on him at least, you know, on August the 8th. I think that Sheffield has a real chance to make this team and a real chance to contribute. But to come all the way back from that late August injury that he had in Tampa Bay when he was motionless at the stadium against the Buccaneers, I just think he's different this year. He just seems more confident in his role. I think that he understands the system better. We all talk about how difficult that outside linebacker position is in the 3-4. It's the most difficult position defensively when you have to collide mental and physical together. But he seems to now be way more comfortable in that role and just free to make plays. This is a guy that could be also a sneaky guy that can make you a play, get you a sack, make a big special teams play to flip the field or get a turnover just when you least expect it. He has that ability.
A lot of people don't talk about what's between here with him because there was no offseason program last year. He missed his entire rookie season in 2010 with a very scary head and neck injury that he had that collision with Mike Bell of the Eagles in the preseason game. Stretcher comes out. They take him to the hospital. A lot of people were worried if he would be paralyzed, and the feeling came back in the hospital that night. So it was great news for Cam, but it ended his rookie season. So he goes through without an offseason program in 2011. Comes right back into camp, and they're like, well, go get him. You know, you're going to start hitting again. You're cleared. You're healthy. Go get him. Well, I think for him, it took some time to, okay, I'm back. My head's not always on a swivel. What's going to happen? I feel like he's so much more comfortable this year when I watch him practice than last year. And I do think when you go through something like that, there's a mental hurdle you have to overcome before you can be the player that really you're physically able to be.
Well, the hurdle is your own brain and your own body because there are defense mechanisms set up when it goes through body trauma like that. But when they're in the base, the 3-4 linebacker has got so much. We also know this, and we see it every day. Romeo likes to spin the roulette wheel, man. He's calling all four suits in Trump. And so Sheffield, just for example, like what a Tom Bahale and a Justin Houston have to digest every day, whether they're in that sub-package role and can rush, Sheffield looks like he's right behind those guys. I mean, he's got a skill set that fits in not far from a Tamba or from a Justin Houston, in my opinion. And again, that's why Cameron Sheffield could make plays when you least expect it and help a team win.
Well, let's end with one more topic, and let's keep it with the linebackers. Mitch, a couple of our live viewers here in the chat talk about Siler, Corey Greenwood. What about Siler? They haven't heard of him. Siler has been kind of in and out this preseason. Mm-hmm. We've seen him a couple days on, a couple days off. They say his ankle swelled up. We know he had the Achilles that was blown out. Are the two connected? I don't know. I actually haven't talked to him about the specifics of that injury. So I think with Siler, he's a player who can play. He's going to back up both Derek Johnson and Javon Belcher. The question with him is he healthy? Can he get through a whole preseason? Can he get through a season? Because right now we're seeing him kind of on and off, on and off.
Yeah.
And if not Brandon Siler, then who? And that's where guys like Greenwood come into the equation. This reserve an inside linebacker battle and kind of situation with the injury factor in Siler is kind of an interesting one to follow as well.
Yeah, I'd say inconclusive on Brandon Siler. You know, he was a part-time starter for the San Diego Chargers, made some big plays for them. If you look at what he was able to do for San Diego, big play at Seattle in 2010. But, you know, the on and the off, and it hasn't flashed yet with Brandon Siler. And so he's another guy to watch during preseason games to see if it does kind of start to flash a little bit for him, because in his past in the NFL, he has had flashes. Now, the inside linebacker position after those three, when you look at Derek Johnson, Javon Belcher, and Siler, and Greenwood has been on all the special teams as well. He's kind of the Terrence Copper of the defense.
Right, he makes the team on special teams.
Yeah. But if they do have a depth issue, and what do they have to do in the inside linebacker position? I'm going to throw another name out there that you're going to have to watch during the preseason, and that's Leon Williams. Leon's starting to get more reps. The depth chart is a moving target. We all said that. But you start to see when they start to integrate guys, and I talked with Romeo today, I had some one-on-one time with him, about we're going to put this guy with the twos today. Give him a shot today and see what he can do. Leon Williams has a ton of experience if you study his bio. And so I'm not going to totally throw Leon out of this equation at some point, because when it comes to an experience factor, arguably he has more than Brandon Siler. He's just a little undersized and may fit more of the weak side linebacker than maybe the Mike backer, because those two guys do flip in there. You don't see the defense totally flip like some defenses, but But Derek Johnson and Belcher will do this little sidestepping depending on the lineup that the offense has.
I also think that Leon Williams is a little overlooked when you come to practice because he's like the spring training pitcher who's wearing number 88. He wears 66, so he came in late. He came in off a tryout.
And linebackers were 50s or 90s.
Right, so he's kind of one of those guys that's like number 66 in the middle. That guy doesn't have a chance to make the team because you know, look at the number he's wearing, that type of thing. Well, he came in late. Most of those numbers were gone, so he gets issued an offensive lineman's number as a linebacker. Obviously, that number would change if he were to make the team, but his history is interesting too, Mitch, a former fourth-round pick of the Browns.
7 years in the league.
Under Romeo Crennel. Yeah. Now, he was out of the league last year, released by Dallas at the end of camp, actually tried out for the Chiefs midseason last year. Chiefs kind of got their information on him, didn't need to pull the trigger and sign him, and they end up doing that when they worked him out again this offseason. I mean, it was actually at the rookie minicamp when they signed him, Martin Rucker, and Dominique Ellis, who was an undrafted rookie defensive back. So Williams, you're right, has experience in this league, and he's another guy definitely to watch in that inside linebacker race. A lot of this stuff, of course, when we watch this game Friday night, we'll get another set of answers, then we'll do it again, and then one more time, and we march our way and find this 53. It's our last training camp live of this week until Monday after the Chiefs preseason opener against the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see you in almost a week, but of course we'll see you all weekend as we recap what happened at the game and have player interviews. It's happening for real. This is the last practice before the Chiefs head to Kansas City and get ready to take on the Arizona Cardinals. It is here. It's exciting, Chiefs fans, and we'll see you next time on KCChiefs.com.
Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo. As a key sponsor of Mustangs baseball and Chiefs training camp, Heartland is the number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.